The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DK Network. That's the DK Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Barcanada here at the D. How you doing, man? You good?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Football on a Friday.
Love football Fridays here.
Oh, it's the best. Love. It's the best ever. Coming up on the show in that vein, Chris Velika, the Bear, to talk college football with us, as well as Dr. Bob from an analytics perspective, get his take, or his best picks, college and pro football. I guess I'm contractually obligated to talk about this Michigan story, Kelly, which appears to be bubbling up this morning with a Big Ten response pending. Though, as
I don't know, I think I heard 30 hours ago, any minute now, we can get a major update on this Michigan situation.
I consider myself a fairly intelligent human being. Fairly intelligent. Why am I not? You know, I'm just nonplussed by the whole thing. Like, I just don't under. By the way, I've never been plussed by anything, but I'm nonplussed by this. I just don't understand. This isn't, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent here, but this isn't, okay, so like the Astros sign stealing, right? The Astros sign stealing was, they took it to another level, they used technology, and then it ended up in a trash can being banged before the pitch came, right? Okay, I get it, you went too far, you guys are ridiculous. Okay, they deserve what they got. Spygate, people want to kill the Patriots for Spygate. Spygate was not about filming in practices until after the fact, when they were accused of filming practices. It was never really proven. Mm-hmm. Right? There was a walkthrough before that Super Bowl against the Rams, but never, it wasn't really part of the initial allegations. Josh McDaniels with the Broncos was actually more filming the practices than anything. Right? That's kind of the equivalent to that. That was the worst of this kind of thing. But this Michigan thing isn't about practices. We're not talking about practice.
Oh, gosh. Don't set me off on AI.
We're talking about practice. This isn't
not a game. Not a game.
No, this is a game. Right? This isn't practice. This is about games where I know, okay, and you did it we did it to a high level, and yeah, the kid showed up on the sidelines, which was Michigan. I get that part. But, like, this wasn't – these are actual games where anyone can see your signs anyway. This is a sport where Chip Kelly put up a massive sign with four icons, and TV and networks would show it abundantly. Like, I don't understand why this is such a big deal. Anyway, earlier in the week, I asked Futek, I was like, so if it's going to be a suspension, Harbaugh's going to miss the Ohio State game at a minimum. And he's like, he didn't really say this, but he's like, don't be so naive, was basically what he's telling me. It's going to be kicked down the road. It's going to be in the offseason. No, it might be this year. I wasn't naive.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really get it. But so what's the worst that happens?
Yeah, so he's not coaching during one of these games.
Right. And Michigan still got really good players, right?
And if they, well, I mean, the one consequence, I guess, is if they lose, they'll crash down the rankings, right? They'll hold it again. Yeah. Instead of them going from like 1-4, 2-5, or whatever it is, they'll drop all. I mean, I don't know. We'll talk to Felika and Dr. Bob about it. I didn't intend to go off on it here, but.
You know, one of the biggest things I took away from the story, did you see the Brett Bielema thing yesterday? Where he was talking about how a game he was coaching, against Northwestern, and this was years ago, apparently Northwestern had picked up their signals in their radio headsets, like in the coordinator booths. And
that's far worse.
And Pat Fitzgerald told his staff to shut it down. Yeah. Like, shut it down. We're not going to do that. We're going to settle it on the field. And then he called up Bielema like a day later.
Sportsmanship.
I was like, wow, that's incredible.
Sportsmanship. I probably was what that is.
I would have been like, he's going ZY. ZY. Or down. Yeah, ZY 40.
ZY.
ZY 40 blue. That's a streak.
It's Kelly Bidlin signals. ZY. He says in my ear every segment on this show. In addition to college football, Matt Brown joins us for the balance of this hour after this segment. We'll talk NFL with him. Everything imaginable week 10. And then Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. A little gambling porn a little later. I don't know if his stories are going to be as good today as they were on Wednesday. I'm still reeling from the Malaysian women's basketball story. We'll get into that.
That was amazing.
Last night, there was Thursday night football. This just in case you missed it. You didn't miss much. It was exactly what we thought it would be. Bears 16, Panthers 13. We said yesterday, maybe it'll be an underfest. I wouldn't call it an underfest because the Panthers drew first blood in this game with a punt return for a touchdown. And that kind of killed any notion you would have had of going crazy in game undering. But the first half under did hit, and the full game under hit, as we sort of intimated, was probably the best bet last night. Bears 16, Panthers 13. The only thing to really note from this game, Kelly, is the fact that with that Bears win over the Panthers, the real implications are off the field in the upcoming NFL draft. Because, of course, the Bears own the Panthers' number one pick because of the Bryce Young trade. And so the Panthers not only stink at 1-8, they have a quarterback that may not be good at all. Sorry, I love the kid. Seems like a nice guy, but he may not be good at all. And quite frankly, not only do they not have a pick, they got to deal with Bryce Young for many years if he's not any good. And the Bears, well, good for them. They're 3-7. And they have not only their pick, but that Panthers pick. So the Bears go, according to ESPN analytics, they go to a 42% chance now, 42% chance to get that number one pick in the National Football League draft next year, which is the highest in the NFL. Obviously, the Cardinals only have one win as well as the Panthers, so they're in the mix. The Giants are in the mix with two wins as well. And I keep forgetting when I'm talking about these horrible teams that the Patriots are actually in the mix as well with only two wins, which is sort of hard to square in your head. But yes, that's the case as well. Bryce Young had only 63 yards passing in the first half, and 45 of them came on one play. He came into the game with an NFL worst 29.6 total QBR. That will not improve. Panthers only could muster 12 first downs, and they got out gained 295 to 213. On the bright side for the Bears, Montez Sweat, the newly acquired Montez Sweat, team high 5 pressures. First Bear defender with 5 pressures in a game since 2021. I can tell you from my experience as a Washington Commodores guy, he's quite the pressure.
You didn't want him to go.
No, I loved Montez Sweat, but they essentially, with the Bears pick, got an early second, which is a de facto late first. It'll be a top 40 pick. So, you know, Casey Kasem loved top 40. It's a great pick to have.
Man, the Bears are set up so nice this draft. Like,
it's a beautiful thing for them.
I think they still got pieces.
And this is, again, we'll say it one more time, this is why we got crushed on the NFL draft this year. Because when they traded for that number one pick, I was convinced the Panthers were like, well, clearly they're not trading up for 5'7" Bryce Young or 5'8" Bryce Young or whatever he is. Clearly it's for CJ Stroud. I think this season has corroborated that sentiment, but nope, they drafted Bryce Young. And so there you go.
I just don't know. I don't know. I think Bryce Young can still be okay, but I think he's got to have this. He has no team around him. You know, it's so hard to judge this guy, like with that offense.
That is
Adam
correct.
Thielen is your go-to wide receiver all year long, and we're in week 10 in 2023.
You imagine that opposing defenses are like, we got to take Thielen
right,
out.
Got to take Thielen out of the game. And like, they don't even know what they're doing with the running backs back there. Like, there's nothing going on. So it's, I don't want to trash him too much, but on the other hand, you could easily say the same about C.J. Stroud heading into the year, that he didn't have many weapons there, and he's getting it done in Houston. So,
and Bryce Young's bad passes are really bad. Yeah. And so you're right? It's never just him. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. But I also want to I say this about Brandon Staley, how like, oh, Bill Belichick does the exact same thing Brandon Staley does. We have people who love crushing Brandon Staley for everything. But if Belichick did the same thing, like, oh, my God, he's a genius, right?
Yeah.
We do the same thing with these young quarterbacks. We've had people who have invented derisive nicknames for Kyler Murray and Justin Fields, mm-hmm. right? They were leaps and bounds better than Bryce Young has been, right?
Yeah.
Bounds. I know the leaps for sure, but I'm pretty sure the bounds as well. So I'm just saying, like, the way we sort of have our own biases in this stuff, it needs to go.
I mean, the part that I guess that confuses me the most is they brought in Frank Reich, and there was already like this, you know, there was already, because all we've heard is these reports, right, of the split between him and the front office of what they wanted to do with quarterback. And then it's they hired him, and then you didn't have any idea which of these quarterbacks you really wanted to go with first. And then it's like you're hearing these rumors now of him being a little bit on the hot seat already. And I don't know, if you were him, if he didn't get the quarterback you wanted, you know how much draft capital you lost over the next couple of years. Would you really want to be around that situation anyways?
I don't know. It's these coaches, man, sometimes they're just the fault. Robert Saleh is going to deal with that in New York too, right?
Yes, yes.
It's like, it's my fault that we got this guy playing quarterback?
You didn't even finish the sentence. Fall guy. Perfect. That's a perfect word. Like, yeah. I mean, what situation did he step into?
As far as our picks thus far, we're going to get to Matt Brown here momentarily to discuss VSiN's own Matt Brown, to discuss all of his picks. He's the co-host of The Handle and the host of the All Angles Football Betting Podcast, but we'll sneak him in here. We'll go over these later in the show as well. The three that I have in my account will reflect the exact three that I thought were the best picks on guessing lines, which is... I have the Minnesota Vikings, by the way, bought half point in some of these cases. Minnesota Vikings, I have it +3. Minnesota Vikings +3 against the New Orleans Saints. That one is at -123 in my, -128 in my account. Have the Steelers at +3. You could probably get it. You can get some 3.5s out there on the Steelers right now. You get a better number than I did when I put this in my account. Steelers -3, -123. Other way around, right? Vikings +3, Steelers -3. Sorry, watch that. Steelers -3 in this case against the Packers. I was oppo a couple guys on the Megapod yesterday. So Vikings +3 against the Saints at home, Steelers -3 at home against the Packers. I just don't think Jordan Love, who all of a sudden looked good against a horribly coached Rams team last week. I think he's getting way too much credit for that in the market. And I think against a veteran defense like the Steelers, I think it's going to show. And then I laid the wood, Kelly. I laid the 16.5 with the Cowboys when it was 16.5 and not 17. I'm sorry. I can see them winning by 20, 25.
I love how this has just been going. This line's been going back and forth all week. It's cracking me up how much it's moving between 16 and 17.
That's what I got my account anyway so far. How I'm going to come up with a fourth and fifth pick in the contest, I have no idea. Maybe Matt can convince me of a couple.
I'll hit mine later. I'm oppo him on two, Gil.
Oppo Matt? Oh. Fights. They should fight, the two of them. That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's no better time of year to be a sports bettor. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for college and pro games every week. Sign up today. Get access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up now and get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120 United States dollars. Oh, if only we had somebody on set who converts them to Canadian. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. And as always on Fridays, we love having our old primetime action co-host with us for the balance of the hour. These days, in addition to hosting the greatest golf podcast there ever was, called Long Shots. He's also the co-host of The Handle here on the weekends with Mike Somich, 7 p.m. Eastern. And he's the host of the All Angles Football Betting Podcast, which he does solo. Good to go solo. Matt Brown, everybody. How you doing, man?
Doing well. People love their betting splits.
Kelly loves it. Kelly walks over to the other side of the casino and he shouts betting splits. He loves it so much.
It is, man. People love their betting splits. Yeah. Totally actionable.
You all about the splits?
Yeah, totally actionable.
Matt Betting Splits Brown, I think we call him.
Totally actionable.
How you doing, man? How'd your week go last week?
Pretty good. I mean, it was, as Kelly knows, as he was sitting on the desk with me, my largest financial outlay of the season was on Cincinnati last
Bengals,
week.
So, yeah, I remember yes. you were all
so,
about
so was that. Was, yeah. So that was good. That was good that got home, and... We did. We were 2-0 last night to start the week. So,
what'd you have last night?
The under and Bryce Young pass attempts.
Yes.
Over on that.
I got to tell you, we talk about this on the Megapod all the time. Todd Wishnev has been great at this. The team that's trailing, their quarterback pass attempts in game or even pre-flop over, if you can anticipate what the game, how the game's going to go, that in game, at least doing it in game, just the pass attempts, and intuitively it makes sense, right? They're going to have to catch up. They're going to throw the ball more. That's a hell of a bet, man.
It was weird. Like, 31.5 last night, and I guess maybe just the books just thought the game was going to play close, and so they kept it at 31.5, but they didn't factor in, like, how would they ever have any form of a successful offense, because the Bears' run defense is actually very good. It's a top-5 run defense in the NFL, and so I think they were just looking, thinking, okay, 3.5-point spread, it's going to be closer, less pass attempts for Bryce. He's only not cleared 31 pass attempts one time, and it was dead on the number of 31, and it was set at 31.5 last night. And so, I think they're... I get what they were doing, think, okay, closer game, maybe they won't be trailing as soon and have to abandon it and go to the pass. But the fact of the matter was is they were never going to have any success on the ground as it was in the first place, right? So it was just going to be throw, throw, throw from the get-go. And yeah, so that one obviously cleared easy. You ended up with 38 attempts, and the over 31 and a half was just cruised home.
You're a Panthers fan right now. You just got to be. Like, this is the most mismanaged thing ever.
I mean, It's interesting. I mean, I think Bryce Young is getting a lot of unfair criticism in all this just for the fact that, I mean, there's just no dudes on that team. Like, there's just nobody around him. I mean, it's like your top target is like a washed Adam Thielen.
That's what we were just saying. We're like, we're going to take Thielen out of the offense now and see, like, what you can do.
He's your top target. I mean, like, you know, Terrace Marshall, guy that, I mean, he went to LSU. I saw a ton of him. I actually thought he'd be decent in the NFL. Key third down last night, hits him right in the hands, can't do anything with it. There was the one bad pass on the play action rollout where Bryce kind of airmailed the guy. But outside of that, I mean, there's just nobody there. There's no one for him to get the ball to.
I mean, it's 100% right on the one hand. On the other hand, like those pick sixes last week were god awful.
There was
a couple last night that were god awful. But the thing with Thielen, which is so comical, is, and I think I speak for many, this offseason, we kind of thought of him as a guy who was like completely done.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, he's your best weapon.
And then you start to hear, the stuff come out of camp, which, like, I have over Thielen yards, and so it's already home. Because you start hearing that, like, wow, really the only one Bryce Young has any sort of connection with is Adam Thielen out here on the field. And like, you're like, what? Like, I thought he was kind of brought in to be a glorified tight end, you know, like just like, no. Or
like a mentor role.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, player coach. He'll get him up to speed quick.
Exactly. He's got these other guys that, like, obviously they're going to try to work in the system. No, he is the number one target with a bullet.
He's balling, Kelly.
He probably got himself another contract though somewhere this year. Like, seriously, someone's going to sign him again next year. He's going to make $8 million. Doing something somewhere.
All right, week number 10, sir. What is your what are you feeling the best about? Let's start there.
Yeah, the best probably is
Oppo 2 on one. Yes.
Yeah, the best probably Lions. Picked that number off fairly early at one. Coming off of a bye here, and they're about as healthy as they've been since entering the season. Actually, maybe even better if you consider, since they got Jameson Williams back from suspension, that makes them better, although he has not been great. But, I mean, David Montgomery, Frank Ragnow, Jonah Jackson, all these guys, like, fully off the injury report, practicing in full. So you're going to have that 1-2 punch with Montgomery and Gibbs. You're going to have your full offensive line out there. And then you look on the Charger side of things, short week, traveling across the country. They lost Josh Palmer. So now they're down Josh Palmer and Mike Williams. So it's Keenan Allen and everybody else. So Keenan Allen and just a bunch of dudes. So I wonder what that's going to look like from an offensive standpoint, where an offense that, while it has been efficient, certainly has not been flashy by any stretch of the imagination. And then now you move all these guys off. You're going to have to, for whatever reason, Quentin Johnson's, I guess, just not getting it. I don't know. I mean, they don't even try to target him, right?
It's a lot. Yeah.
I mean, like, they don't even try to target him. It's like he gets 2-3 targets a game. So it's not even like they're trying to force feed him and he's not doing anything. And so here's like the dirty little secret, because, you know, we want to put people on pedestals, and then once we put them there, then we never want to take them off. But, like, since week six, Justin Herbert has been like league average or below league average in just about every single advanced statistical category. If you look at EPA plus CPOE composite, success rate, expected completion percentage, air yards, all this stuff, he is like league average or worse, like in league average or below in every single one of those things. And so,
oh, Matt, you know, it's all Brandon Staley's fault.
Yeah, I know. It's like you it's like we've crowned Herbert already. And so, like, we can't uncrown him. Right. Well, it's like, we don't have to say he's not bad. Like I said, I mean, he's league average or worse, but, like, it's not like, I think he's in that elite category, and he's not been playing at that elite category the last four or five weeks.
I said this a few weeks ago too. And people were overreacted. Like, oh, Justin Herbert is still awesome.
Yes. Yes.
But, like, he does, when things go bad, he should shoulder some of the blame, too. And he hasn't been that great.
And I think that it's fair to say, like, you know, he was worse once Mike Williams went out, because that was a big part of the offense that went away. Then he was even worse now that Josh Palmer's going to be gone. There's no familiarity with that receiving core at all outside now at this point of Keenan Allen. And the other thing that is at least minimally concerning for me in this game from a Charger standpoint is, so if you kind of factor out guys that have played enough snaps to qualify for this, and then also some of the garbage time stuff. Under pressure, and again, like, this is not terrible, but he's 14th out of 27 qualifiers. So, like, he's league average against pressure, right? And so he's not good against pressure. In comes a Lions team, ninth in the league in pressure rate. So he's going to feel that pressure with less dudes out there to throw to and less guys that he's familiar with. And I do wonder what this offense that hasn't really been flying all around as it is anyway is going to look like with that comes into all this. And then on the other hand, the Chargers get no pressure whatsoever. What do we hate about Jared Goff? We hate Jared Goff when Jared Goff is like happy feet and like, you know, like they're 25th in the league in pressure rate so far this year. If it's not Bosa getting pressure, nobody's getting pressure for them at all. And so Lions, I think, just here coming out of a bye, fully healthy, given all the other factors and all the things that are going into all of this, I really, really do like that one a ton. I think you can still find 2.5. Anything under a field goal, I think, is fine. I know people hate when you get on here and you start talking about numbers that don't exist anymore, but it's a reason to tune in to my show on Sundays.
That's good. There you go.
As I'm sitting here telling you what to put into your account on Sundays. But
that's right. God forbid that you make any bets that don't exist outside of this window of time.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, listen, this might, it looks like it's 3 across the board now, but
yeah, it looks 3 even is best. Matt, I'm on this side too. I would still lay 3. I would be okay laying 3 with Detroit still. All these guys getting healthy, like you just talked about. We talk about the Chargers' home field, like, or lack thereof. Yeah, I think this is probably close to
extra rest, short rest for the Chargers. Like, you got to win this game if you're who you think you are. You know which game, weirdly, will be the barometer for Jared Goff? Because you talk about, like, when do we hate Jared Goff when he's under pressure? And you did the thing with your arms, which I love. They only have one cold weather game coming up. It's at Chicago in early December, on December 10th. That's the game where I want to see how Jared Goff plays, because he's the guy that when it gets below 32 degrees, right? Fahrenheit talking 0 degrees Celsius. That's his kryptonite. That's what also is kryptonite, where you're like, oh my God, like Jared Goff. Remember those games early in his career where you'd see him on the bench in cold weather and his eyes would just be like, I can't play in this.
Oh yeah.
California kid that he is. So that's another real barometer for him.
And if you look at the schedule, guys, I mean, we need to start talking about the reality that the Detroit Lions could be your number one seed in the NFC. Like, I mean, like you look at this. I mean, it's Saints, Bears, and Broncos, and Vikings, and Packers, and stuff. Like, those are all winnable games.
Well, and based on what I just said, they would want to be the number one seed. You don't want to go to Philly, for sure, in the postseason. Matt Brown's got a bevy of picks. 6 more to come. We'll do that on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches, they're already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. I will spell it for you, ZYN.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. We get tweets at Beating the Book. High praise for the Megapod. I appreciate that. The Beating the Book Megapod, which is Todd Wishnev, Will Hill, and me, along with a rotating guest, Las Vegas Chris, multiple contest winner here in town, was the guest this week. ATS at NFL ATS Sharp. He says, Megapod never fails to entertain and give useful info. Love it. Thank you, sir. Doug Wedge. I love it when Todd eventually annoys Gil enough to get his vulgarity filter to break and we get flooded with F-bombs. It's like my favorite thing now with the Megapod. Grayson Rossi.
Did you snap on Todd yesterday?
It always happens.
I mean, I know you usually get to a point.
It always happens, yeah. Eventually, I'm like, could I just finish a sentence? Grayson Rossi. Gil names the staples of the pod every week, but the actual staple of the pod is bickering. That's why the half points matter. Absolutely. JV Amoroso. I could listen to an entire podcast series of politics and betting involving Las Vegas Chris and you, Gil. Great stuff. Oh, yeah, I'd love that. Jason H11. No one has ever told someone to shut the blank up more calmly and politely than Gilly. And last one here from Raj Bhatti. Strong start with Todd singing a song with a recorded intro. Wavered a bit when the guy with the goulash models was suggesting an amendment to the revered Megapod Constitution. Las Vegas Chris gets a pass this time. And strong with Todd eliciting multiple F-bombs from Gil. People seem to like the cursing. I seem to note that as a thread in those.
You're so edgy, bro. People just don't know it.
I'm telling you, man. Me, I'll snap at any moment. That's my brand. Matt Brown, kind enough to join us for not one, not two, but three segments here on A Numbers Game this morning. Once again, co-host of The Handle, which can be heard here 7 p.m. Eastern Saturday and Sunday nights. And, of course, host of the All Angles Football Betting Podcast, wherever podcasts are available. You were making a great point off air, Matt, which I think needs to be repeated. I think you've alluded to it before here, but I guess we sort of got there because we were talking about how, you know, yeah, Matt bet this earlier in the week. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry that he bet this earlier in the week. Because some people get annoyed by that. It's like, we didn't just show up Friday morning to make bets. But you have noticed a change in the way that you bet the NFL typically.
Yeah, if you guys do remember the primetime action days, like there were, you know, I would make a case for trying to get as much information as humanly possible whenever we go into these markets that are so incredibly hard to read as it was anyway. And so you would get key information later on in the week that could really drastically change your handicap on a game. But now for me, I've had to shift from all of that, and I do make more of my bets earlier in the week now because the way that the injury reports are and the way that the coaches handle these injury reports, the information we used to get that was pretty valuable. I mean, I look back on those days that whenever we were doing primetime action and we were able to figure out like, wow, man, look, these are two offensive linemen that are going to be out for this team, and this number is not reflective of two offensive linemen. Like, we would get really good stuff.
We would do injury reports for like an hour and a half.
I kind of forgot about that, but you're right, Gil. Like, we put together full injury reports on Friday.
Remember, you and me would just kind of hang out, and Matt
lot of Matt's backing, and he was absolutely right, because what he's talking about right now, by Friday, there was still so much, you know, so much that you could have learned from Wednesday, Thursday practices that weren't being reflected in the lines.
And we were able to get, you know, ahead of some of that stuff. Then they changed the injury report. So now there's no more probable tag. Now everybody's questionable, and you have to just take a guess as to whether the guy's going to play or whether it's not. And now these coaches manipulate these injury reports all. So we're going to get to this game. We might, you know, whatever. We can talk about the Texans and Bengals next. But, you know, the Texans have 23 guys on their injury report.
Well, it's a perfect example because it's a game me and you are oppo.
Here's your injury report. It's our entire team. Yeah.
I mean, you dress 50. There's 23 guys. I mean, like, seriously, like, what's going on? What's happening here? But there's 23 guys. So, like, you can't get as much information. You can't really start to make decisions. So now that is why you'll see these numbers change, and even my process has changed over the last few years because the injury reports don't give us as much as they used to. And, again, the coaches now, too, thanks Belichick, you know, like, because Belichick was the guy that used to do it.
He's the pioneer.
And then everyone else just kind of, like, was like, you know what, I'll take this seriously. And Belichick can just do his thing. Now everybody does it. Everyone games the system with all that, and you just don't get as much information. So I don't utilize it as much, and that's why some of these numbers may or may not be available by the time that it comes around.
So you guys are oppo on Bengals Texans. What do you have?
He has under, I have over.
Yes. Explain yourself. Yes. Explain yourself, sir.
Yeah, so I mean, I got the under 47. This was just made yesterday afternoon, actually, and some of the things that you can pull from the injury report are the reasoning for this for me. So DNPs for Nico Collins, Damian Pierce, and Jimmy Ward for the Texans. Then on the limited basis, you've got Robert Woods, you've got Laremy Tunsil, you've got some other starters on the defensive side of the ball for them. But the biggest ones, too, for me, is on the Bengals side of things. T. Higgins already out for them. Jamar Chase is going to play, but it looks like he's going to play banged up. Probably, if you believe some of the beat reporters out there, going to be on a snap count, kind of a pitch count type deal. They're not going to put him in on useless downs, essentially, where he's out there and only bad things could happen. And so for me, if Texans number one receiver Nico Collins is either going to be out or very limited, again, DNPs on Wednesday and Thursday typically mean a dude is going to be either super limited or out. So his number one option's out. Your number one running back is going to be out. Looks like Damian Pierce is going to miss another week as well. T. Higgins now not going to be out there for Cincinnati. Jamar Chase going to play on a limited basis from a limited snap count standpoint. It just doesn't scream tons of offense for me. And then also, like, you know, you guys know that I've made fun of spots and things like that a ton of times. Yes. But
I talked about that on the Megapod yesterday. You love spots.
If you do look at Cincinnati, right? I mean, it's short week versus Ravens on Thursday next week, right? And so if there was ever a game of like, hey, let's just get out of here. If we get up 10, let's just run Joe Mixon 7,000 times and like, let's just get out of here and not lose anybody else, because that is a massively important game on Thursday night against a division rival that, look, they're not, I know the Ravens are rolling, but Cincinnati's not out of it from a division standpoint at this point. I mean, they could win in theory that division. And so with all of that, I do think that there is a conservative angle that they could play out here as well. So all of that leads me to the
this is one we're waiting definitely triggered the bet, right?
Yes.
Finding out. Yeah, because I want to say Dr. Bob was on Kelly's side of this, but he was earlier in the week.
He and I both made this bet on like Monday.
Yeah.
And T. Higgins, what, suffers that hamstring injury on Tuesday in practice, I think it was. And yeah, now he's ruled out. I mean, that's a massive. I already had Ja'Marr Chase in the back of my head wondering what his situation is going to be. And then, yeah, T. Higgins goes down. Completely different handicap now. I wouldn't be running to bet the over, but I got my tickets.
Can we find the Matt Brown spots rant from years ago? That's one of the great VSiN all-time rants. Revenge spot.
I doubt it.
Revenge. Yes, revenge. That worked out so well for DJ Moore last night. And like, oh, yeah, he had a massive game.
My favorite Matt Brown is the trend, the baseball trend. What's your favorite trend in sports?
Oh, the home umps.
Yes. Yes.
That's right. Yeah. Home umps. Yeah. This ump at home.
This is where Matt flipping out one show because everybody knows the umpires want to stay 45 more minutes to call.
Matt Brown stuff writes itself. I was about to say, I understand you feel this way about the Texans-Bengals game, but what do you feel about the Texans-Bengals game?
I love it.
That's the other one. Okay. Now with the Ravens, you like a side and a total.
Yeah. So Ravens 5.5. This is now pretty much universally 6.5. Which probably takes it out of like where I would lay it, since we already passed that kind of key ish number and all that. But I mean, there's probably money line parlays to be had out there, non-traditional teasers, if you wanted to go that direction with the Ravens this week. But it's for me, you just have to watch that game last week with Sean Watson. It's the dude's just not healthy. He's just not right. And I wish I credit where credit's due. I'm pretty sure it was Ian Hardis. I can't remember, but someone put out every throw that he threw further than 10 yards down the field, just a little montage in that game last week. And it looked like us trying to throw 25 yards down the field. Yeah. Like it was like every bit of his body, every bit of every, it was not the, you know, most of these NFL quarterbacks, cannons,
season.
Like cannons, right? Like 20 yarders is like a wrist flick. And it's just like, no, it was full body, everything.
I got some Zapruder film. I won't say who sent it, but I got some Zapruder film footage from one of their practices before that game. And like, you're right. A 10 yard pass is like worm burner.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah, it's some, the shoulder is just.
But they
just,
were playing the Cardinals, so it didn't matter.
Exactly. The shoulder is just like not there. And then the other reason, and so for me, it just seems like the Ravens too, kind of the same deal. Workmanlike effort here. You get up and then you just run. They run so incredibly efficiently that they're like the perfect team to salt away a lead and just to still get you a cover, because they just run the ball so incredibly well and efficiently. Also on the under in this one, at under 40, I even at 38, I think that it's at right now, maybe in 38.5. I think you can still look towards an under in this Browns defense since week six. I mean, they've been balling out all season long, but since week six, they're number one in EPA per play allowed. Ravens are third in EPA allowed. If you look on the Browns, second in success rate allowed, the Ravens are ninth in success rate allowed. So, I mean, these are two really, really good defenses that are coming into it as well, limiting these guys doing what they want to do. And then also the Ravens, as we talked about, just run the ball so much now, and they're running the ball on early downs. And I know it's horrible. You're not supposed to do that, but the Ravens are doing it and doing it very, very well. They ran 34 out of 60 early downs last week, 25 out of 52 the week before that. They were on bye in week 7, and they ran on early downs 26 out of 53 in week 6. And so what do you do on early downs? You run it. The clock's just run tick, 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 tick. So lots of reasons for me to look at the under here.
They may end up being my fourth or fifth contest pick, Ravens. I think I'm slowly getting talked into it. Again, Aaron Schatz has them the third greatest team of all time through DVA through 9 weeks. Coming back, he's got a couple more sides. Matt Brown does. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS. That's VEGAS. When you sign up, DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Again, really appreciate all the Megapod love. J.D. Emmons. Oh, we love J.D. from Alabama. Love the Megapod. Las Vegas Christmas Fire. I've been betting exactly that way, the way that he was describing on the Megapod for over a year, and I've been on the best run of my life. You continue to have the best content out there. Thank you, JD. That's nice. McManus, one of the most informative pods I have heard. Great guest. Thank you for defending the 10-point teaser. That wasn't me who was defending it, but Chris was. It can be a useful tool. Anyone who doesn't appreciate Todd's new jam has never turned around a terrible season. The bad beats are going to get right back where we started from. This is from the Palm Readers. Oh, the Palm Readers. He says, oh, the PTA injury reports will go down in history. Jeez.
We try to be very thorough on your Football Fridays.
And we mean Matt.
We mean Matt.
Mike Rouse, when is the Matt Brown I can throw a 25-yard NFL pass contest? After talking about Deshaun Watson, I guess.
Oh, well. These guys can. I can throw way farther than that. We were doing it. I can throw way farther than a frozen rope.
Can I tell you something? He's pretty accurate too.
Yeah,
like I was. That was. I think I was more impressed by that than anything.
Gil and I had conversations on the field.
I was like, he was hitting me on a dot. That was pretty good pass right there.
30 yards.
So now the new thing is because Von Wrinkel is on a personal weight journey.
Isaiah Von
Wrinkel.
Yes, yeah.
And so he was talking about how many push-ups he can do, and all of a sudden, so then I threw out an outlandish thing of like, I was like, how many push-ups do you think I can do in a row? And then they were just kind of like, I don't know, whatever. So now we might roll into
This is in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, this is not.
You just want, you know what? He's saying this on the day where we got Dakota's back there running audio, the fine director and producer of the whole video, kick video that you probably saw.
Yeah.
He's a talented man. He's back there running audio day. Mm-hmm. Matt's just trying to spin this forward so he can get on video without a shirt on doing 100 push-ups.
100%.
Exactly.
We're completely on.
I was getting people said no way. There were people who were saying no way. I think even Dakota.
What's the number?
100.
Oh,
I just called it? No, he can do 100.
He can do 100.
So I'm not betting against
Matt. Matt can do 100 in his sleep. Yeah, he can do 100.
So it's interesting.
200 would get interesting.
No, I cannot. That one, I would not make that bet. I'm out. I'm out on that bet.
175.
Not happening.
You got two more sides here.
Yes.
We are oppo on this New Orleans-Minnesota game.
All right. You probably have a three, though, and so we could.
I bought it to a three.
Yeah. I could win, and you could push. See, there we go.
That could happen.
So, I mean, this is just more of this is the grossest, but I hate the Saints. Everyone knows this. Any content I've done, like I hate the Saints, but
I hate bet.
No Jefferson, no KJ Osborne. Hockenson looks like he's going to play, but he's got his rib injury. And like, I'm just going to assume that, he's going to get the good shot that numbs it for a while. But I mean, how many hits can he take in the ribs and keep going? And then it just comes down to the Saints defense. And I hate the offense, but the Saints defense is actually really, really good. It's a top 10 unit overall by just about every single metric out there. Ninth overall in DVOA. Pro Football Focus has them, really loves them. Fourth overall, according to those guys over there. Really, really tough to run against the Saints. And so Minnesota has no run game as it is anyway, but really, really tough to run against the Saints. And so I just wonder, only being in there for a week and a half, if you're forced to be one-dimensional and it's throw the ball every single time because you can't run the ball, does... You know, can he really get something going after just being in there for a week and a half with, you know, basically one target in Addison? And if they put Lattimore shadowing Addison, and so now it's like going to all these ancillary receivers. I don't love this one. It's the least favorite of the ones that I have in the account. It just felt like I needed to make it. Like, I just kept drawing the conclusion of if Josh Dobbs, after being there for a week and a half, is forced to throw 45 times in this game because they can't run it at all, what does that look like and what's the end result of all of that? And that's, you know, it just came to under a field goal with a team that I hate. And so if that lets y'all know like how much I pain to put this in there, cause like, I just can't stand the Saints
you
team
might
at all.
Be, I mean, you might be right in the end. My whole thing was, I just don't think Derek Carr is very good.
No, he's not. He is definitely not.
This is confirmed.
Yes.
And he is not. Like, where's the one game where he did hit some really key long passes to Shahid?
Yes.
Rashid Shaheed, which was like, I was like, wow, Derek Carr with a great bailout pass. Mm-hmm. But how often have we seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah, was that the Colts game?
Yeah, I think it was the Colts game, yeah. Where I was like, okay, that's the best pass I think I've ever seen Derek Carr throw in a clutch situation in my life.
It's like the the offense just doesn't work, right? And that's the other part about why I kind of hate this laying points with the Saints at all, just because the offense has no identity. It's so broken. It's like the best plays are check downs to Kamara or like Taysom Hill
ding, ding, ding.
Runs Taysom Hill. Or whatever. What, you know, it's not Michael Thomas. It's not Olave. It's not like all these guys that you think it should be. It's like, oh no, it's a check down to Kamara, who, by the way, will probably have 8 to 10 catches in this game, yeah, because like that's just how it works.
That's my bet. Again, I'm going right back to it. I think it's 3 weeks in a row. It's not on my card yet, but it will be. I just checked the prop number. It's 31.5. 33.5. 33.5. He's had one game where two games because he had 33 and one. Two games where he's been under that number. He hasn't been under that number, though, since week two.
Wasn't there one game where it was 13 for 33? It was some amazing stat line where he had like 13 catches for 33.
What's an anytime Taysom touchdown? Because, like, I'm being serious. Like, they love
that guy.
Him inside the 5 yard line. Like,
they're like, we outbid everybody else to pay him $21 million.
Yeah, because he was.
By everybody else, I mean nobody.
Yeah, everyone needed some guy to come in and play 14 snaps a game for $1 billion a year.
Kamara anytime plus 105.
No. It's Taysom.
Oh, I thought you said Kamara. Sorry. Taysom is plus 220. But yes, that is, I like that too. I actually think you and I were talking about this last week on the handle, but I think the way they're using him now, they kind of have to. Like, I know you've hated him in the past because they've had other weapons they just don't use. But what you've said about Derek Carr, you almost have to mix it into get the running.
That's a great point.
Sometimes
you can't
argue with the results, though. Yeah. Like, I mean, do I think it's silly that like they have to utilize him to move the ball down the field when you have all these other weapons? Yes. But also, if you look and he's averaging like a trillion yards per catch and he's scoring a touchdown like every fourth time that he touches the ball, it's like, well, I mean, I guess it's very hard for me to argue with the results.
Yeah, and you're right. It's not we're far from peak Thomas and far from peak Kamara, so you might as well. Now, you guys said you were opposite on a second one. Is this last one the opposite, the Commodores?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You like the Commanders.
Yeah, so I bought this to 7, and before people scream at me, I know it's 10 cents is what you're supposed to pay to get to from 6.5 to 7. It was 15 cents. If you find me someone that'll give me 10 cents, I'll take it, but I can't.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't get that in Vegas.
You feel like you've developed this reputation as the past poster on this stuff?
Yeah, it's these people are going to be like, oh, you idiot, you paid 15 cents. It's like the fair price is 10 or 11 cents. I'm like, I mean, I get it, but it's... there's no place that offers 10 or 11 cents and I wanted the 7. So I'll pay the extra 4 pennies. Yeah. It just is what it is. So I bought this to 7. No Jordan Brooks at practice on Thursday for Seattle. No DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf got added to the injury report on Thursday, which is never good to get added to the injury report on Thursday. And then guys, Geno Smith, has just been the stink like lately. I mean, he's just been the stink. If you look,
you know what he reminds you of? Geno Smith.
Yeah. From days past. So you sit here and you look and it's like, okay, how bad could he possibly be? Well, let's just go back the last 4 weeks because that's when you really started to notice he's got this turnover streak that's going on. If you do adjusted EPA per play and you put in some parameters of minimum amount of snaps and you factor out garbage time, Geno Smith is 24th out of 28 qualifiers in the NFL, only ahead of exactly who you would think, Bryce Young and Zach Wilson. And, you know, like, so, I mean, that's where Geno Smith has been. And the other part is the offensive line. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact the offensive line has just been breaking down. And if you look, so he's pressured 16 times, sacked 4 times last week, pressured 19 times on 39 dropbacks in week 8. They were on bye in week 7. You go to week 6, he was pressured 22 times on 48 dropbacks and sacked another 4 times. So not only is Geno Smith not making great decisions as it is anyway, he's having to make these bad decisions under duress a ton every single time he drops back. And I think if you look, if you're going to give me a full touchdown with Sam Howell kind of YOLOing it all over the place, even if Seattle gets up,
that's a great way of putting it.
If Seattle gets up, I mean, if they're up 13, I'm feeling pretty good about my plus 7 that Washington's going to be able to come in the back door. So I'm okay with the 7 here.
I wish Sam Howell would YOLO more to Terry McLaurin.
Yeah,
that would be a good YOLO right there.
But he is. We just have to face the facts. He has not been that bad. He has been greatly league average and sometimes a little bit above league average, and that is more than I think most people thought.
He has a sieve of an offensive line in front of him. I mean, the poor guy. If he had, I mean, they got a draft offensive line for sure.
Yes.
All right, so Matt Brown on the Saints, on the Ravens. He likes the Browns, Ravens under, the Texans, Bengals under. Likes the Lions, likes the Commanders. Those are his pick six. Thank you, sir, as always.
Fun times. Let's win this week.
Let's win. Get the great Matt Brown. Dan Le Batard is next on the DK Network. We're sticking around right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, with Chris Malika next.